T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Falsey, what happens when, do you say Van Meter's coming back up?
Yep, that's according to Jason Mackey, I saw.
Who leaves?
I don't know.
Jason Van Meter, Josh Van Meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he leaves.
Yeah. No, he's...
Why do I don't want to play him?
I know, I don't see why he should be coming back up.
Yeah, what's the point
silly.
Of this?
He hit, what, 210 when he was
I
up
mean,
here?
Yeah, I mean, at some point you just have to say... I mean, if you want to put him on the bench, that's fine. I think Chavis is the one guy who's earned his position.
I like him.
He's better at first than Yoshi Tsutsugo, who's also going to be coming back soon. I don't want to see those guys be in the lineup on a regular basis in front of other guys I want to see.
Well, perhaps you could work that into a showdown question.
It's one of my questions. I already have it. See, this is what happens. You steal.
Oh, my gosh. That seemed harsh.
He gave you the eye, too.
Bob Pompiani, brought to you by PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day. No Ron today. It's usually mono against mono. Is that the saying?
Mono.
Between me and Ron. Ron and I. Bob makes up the questions, but today it's me and you, Folsey. But that doesn't mean that Ron's voice won't be a part of this, correct?
Yes, we will. We will drop in Ron throughout this segment.
Can we hear him to start out here before we get to Bob?
Ron Cook for gutter helm.
Just remember, all Cookie right. runs the show.
Cookie. Hey, everybody, it's Ron Cook.
All right, let's go, Bob. This is Folsey against me and me against Folsey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the music.
Let's Folsey. Go.
There we go. There we go, Bob.
It's time for today's Monday edition of The Showdown here in the palatial estate known as 93.7 The Fan. And today, without Ron Cook, it is Coltsy Matt Cole who will be sitting in. Going head-to-head against the savvy old news hound, Joe Starkey, who finds ways to dig deeper into most questions than anyone should ever venture. Here we go. First question on the table for you guys, since you brought it up, is what happens when all these guys get healthy, and that includes Kevin Newman. Colts here, we're going to start with you and give you the first opportunity here. All of a sudden, these guys are healthy. They're on the roster. They're veterans. However, this is a rebuild. This is an opportunity for younger players to get a taste of this. And to me, you look at their performances at the end of the year, and I think you have a pretty good idea of whether they're capable of being here next year or not. So what would you do with Newman, with Tsutsugo, with Van Meter, with Ben Gamel? How do you allot a division of labor?
Van Meter out. Tsutsugo out. Ben Gamel, I would... keep around just because he's a veteran presence for the young outfielders. I wouldn't give him playing time over guys like Sawinski, who's continuing to hit bombs, although he's also goes over a lot, and that might be a problem into the future. Kevin Newman, I would keep around as well because he's got some pedigree there. Former first-round pick. I know they just DFA'd Cole Tucker.
But how do you utilize them?
As bench pieces.
Okay.
They should not be presumed starters when they come back.
Joe, do you agree?
Is this a real question? What do I do with Josh Van Meter?
It is. They're going to be active. My question is, if you're Derek Shelton, what do you do with them?
Yes, it is a real question, but it shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing I do with Van Meter. I get him up and out of here and play my younger players.
How about Gamel? How about Newman? How about
Gamel,
Tsutsugo? They're paying him $4 million.
Gamel, I try to trade. Tsutsugo, That's the only position where maybe you could find an at-bat or two for a guy. But I maybe try to get him up to speed to the point where I can get anything for him. But otherwise, I'm not like making a point of that because what are you going to get for him anyway? Newman is a guy that I like to have around. maybe, as a little bit of a mentor, things like that. But I'm also looking. See, here's the thing. If you're going to trade Newman, then you got to play him and have him play well. Have him go on. He's had some stretches of good play. So do you give him that opportunity or just DFA him? What would you do, Bob? I think
everyone knows the track record of Kevin Newman. I would not play him over O'Neill Cruz. Twice a week, maybe. Other five go to Cruz. And that's the way I would do it. People know what he is.
In the end, I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
He becomes the Sunday lineup guy.
Yeah, and that's it. But I do feel like he could be a positive influence on Cruz and help him a little bit if he's of the mind to do that. But basically, to make a long answer longer, I'm looking to get rid of all those guys and not creating a place for them.
Next question involves O'Neill Cruz because people here have been, and I understand it. The Pirates have created this culture of people expect people to be traded sooner rather than later. However, O'Neill Cruz has only played 8 games, and already I've seen on social media, it's just a matter of time before they trade him. And the other response you get is, sign him now, 10 years, $130 million, whatever the case may be. So to you, Joe, first, what would you do, if anything? To me, there's a third answer here, and the answer is wait and watch.
You wait and you watch, and the price might go up, Bob. Didn't they just play a team? What's that dude's name? Wander Franco? Who Tampa Bay signed to a long, long-term
But there's a potential
deal.
For it to be Polanco or Tabata, too.
Of course. That's the risk you take.
All right. So if you're going to sign him, how much are you going to pay him? He's played 7 or 8 games.
Well, let's take a look at Franco's contract first, shall we, Bob? How much was that for?
My question is, how much can his value really go up in 1 year?
If you
wait and watch.
This dude got an 11-year, $182 million contract.
Too much.
Now, is it?
Yes.
What's
he
doing this year?
First of all, he was a prospect of higher pedigree than O'Neill Cruz. You actually look at O'Neill Cruz's minor league track record, and it doesn't blow you away. In fact, it does the opposite.
Tampa will not pay that in the end. He'll be traded before that happens. That's the way they do business. If he's really good, someone will look at that contract. It's a smart move for Tampa. I get it. This is how they do business. Wander Franco becomes a tremendous player at his position. 2 years from now, they decide, you know what? We have a need for more people in our system. Therefore, somebody will look at that and say, oh, we'll pay him that. That's nothing. And you'll get what you want in return.
Ultimately, I'm with you on this. I would like to see a little more from O'Neill Cruz, who's a tantalizing talent, but I have no idea if he's going to be a great baseball player. I don't.
Right. That's why watching
and
wait's
a good
answer.
But if I start to get that idea, but wait for how long?
Well, you have time on your side. You know, you could wait a year or two.
Suppose he's rookie of the year this year, Bob.
Right.
Suppose he starts playing great.
Suppose he isn't.
Wander Franco had a .332 minor league average in nearly 1,000 at-bats with a .936 OPS and 27 home runs and 147 RBIs. O'Neill Cruz's numbers in the minors are pedestrian compared to that. So you're talking about...
Which is why you watch and wait.
Yeah.
So.
And Wander Franco's numbers
this
year...
But not for long.
Not... Fantastic, .268, 4 homers, 19 RBIs.
But isn't he coming off?
718 OPS.
Suwinski has better numbers power-wise than Wander Franco.
Well, wait a second. Wander Franco's coming off. Didn't he have COVID? Didn't he have all kinds of problems coming? He's only got 180 at-bats, for God's sakes. Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but when
this
you make
year,
$182 million, you're under a little bit of an expectation level.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to make a judgment here on this guy. 180 at-bats basically into his career. He had a 280 at-bat cameo, after which they signed him. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and question what the Tampa Bay Rays have done. They deemed this guy
Neither
worthy and of an 11-year deal worth $180 million.
But guess what?
Then
they're
he's
not
worth
gonna
it.
Pay it in the end. He'll be traded before then.
Maybe.
Because that's how they do it. And they're not shy about telling
and
you
maybe
that.
Maybe you'll get
and
5, 6, 7 years out of him.
It's not because they're dumping salary necessarily. It is set up so that they can get more talent in and control the salary by virtue of outstanding scouting and development of the
He's
players they bring in.
He's still 50 points higher than O'Neill Cruz right now.
$182 million. You watch. He'll never be there for that long.
I would be if I see O'Neill Cruz win Rookie of the Year, let me put it this way, and take off this season, I would seriously consider in the offseason signing.
And how much would it be?
But
not yet. How much would it be?
Not right around there.
You're going to give a guy $182 million. Dollars.
Yep.
Now, so
not yet.
I'm all for
notice
spending.
I said not yet.
I'm all for spending, but I...
There's July, August, September
There's a lot
ahead
of time
here.
Left, I think.
The price just goes up.
And when they go to trade these guys like Tampa Bay has, Bob, what you're saying, there's years of control whenever they trade them. And so that, you know, bumps up the value as well.
Right.
They still have 4 years left on their deal of team control.
Bob?
No, that's what I'm saying. Tampa's in a good position there. They hope he develops because it gives them options.
And by the way, $180 million over that amount of time is less than $18 million a year.
Which for most other teams
is like me and you throwing a quarter down the toilet.
Which is why other teams will trade for
him. These owners and these teams have plenty. It sounds, oh my God, that's going to bankrupt the franchise if he doesn't turn out. Really?
No, it's part of their strategy. That's what they do.
I'm sure the Pirates could afford at least one massively bad contract. They could, based on their owner's net worth, right?
Okay. We're approaching the All-Star break. I want to ask you guys your opinion of Key Brian Hayes. He got a long contract. It was for 8 years, $70 million. Certainly franchise doable. But Coltsy, so far, I don't think he's played to that level.
What does Ron think? Can we interject him? I need a little pep talk here just for a second.
See you, Doug. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Doug. Coltsy, what do you think? Give me an assessment of whether or not he's lived up to it.
Well, I've been a little disappointed. I think defensively, the error numbers, you certainly don't
want to
see.
Yeah, but it's been good
but
the
it's
last
been good
27
lately.
Games.
Yeah.
He's made no errors.
And
he
I
started
honestly,
terribly. I don't know why.
Right. And I don't think that's going to be a trend for the rest of his career. I really do think he's a really good defensive third baseman. What you're going to get from him offensively, I think that's still very much a question mark. He's hitting .263 right now, three homers, 24 RBIs. I don't know if you're going to get more than 20 home runs, maybe 25 tops a year out of Key Brian Hayes. But you look at the contract that he signed for any other team, like we're saying, any other team is still a good contract, a good investment for a guy like Key Brian Hayes. It's just in the scope of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And did they commit the right amount of money for him? Right now, a little underwhelming, but I'm not panicking on this. I think Key Brian Hayes is still on track to be a nice He'll always be a nice player at third base. I don't know if he'll be, you know, he'll probably be an all-star a couple times in his career. But a superstar, I'm not sure he ever gets to that level.
I mean, how much was the contract and how many years again?
Eight years, $70 million.
The fact that they held a news conference for a $70 million player is laughable in retrospect. People sign guys to deals like that all the time in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blip on the radar. I don't think it is very unpredictable with Key Brian Hayes. Listen to these numbers. And by the way, at that rate, he's a good fielder. He had a blip there of some rough play. I think he's an elite third baseman fielding-wise. He leads the team in on-base percentage. I'd like a little more power, a little more, and he's worth that deal. In fact, he outplays that deal. But I don't think it's that unpredictable. I've been saying it since the guy came into the league. He had nearly 2,000 minor league at-bats. His batting average was .279. He slugged .401 and had a .754 OPS. Did you hear those numbers, Bob?
Yes, I did.
Now in the majors, guess what? In about 700 at-bats, he has a .274 average, 5 points different than his minor league average. He's slugging .413 compared to .401 across 2,000 minor league at-bats. And his OPS, slugging and on-base combined, in all those minor league at-bats was .754. In his major league career, it's .753. I actually think we know exactly what we're going to get from Key Brian Hayes offensively.
And that's...
because now I've got about 3,000 at-bats worth of evidence.
Yeah, and the thing that bothers me is that I think that position on a team that doesn't have any power at all, you take away Suwinski's 12 home runs... I mean, they have no power. Vogelbach is just what he is.
But who cares about this team? We're going to be talking moving forward. Hopefully,
which
you'll have Brian Reynolds.
You need.
You'll have Henry
Davis. You
need
power somewhere, though. You got to get power from a position.
O'Neill Cruz.
That requires it.
Jack Suwinski.
Yep.
To me, I feel differently about that. I don't look at these. I don't care where the power is coming from. Nick Gonzalez, is he your second baseman? Is he going to hit for power?
I don't know. Somebody's got to hit for power in an age that is designed to hit for power.
See, I think if he gets 17 home runs from Key Brian Hayes, I'm fine with that. If he drives in some runs and has a decent on base. Anyone who's expecting this guy to be a super power hitter, I think is crazy.
He looks like a two hitter for the future. Yeah.
The fact that a lot of these guys are batting leadoff, including him and O'Neal Cruz.
I think he looks like a six hitter myself. I think a two hitter has got to be way better.
All right, one final question because the clock is running. We're already way over.
No, we aren't, Bob.
Yes, we are.
No, we aren't. Can we hear Ron? They'll get us going.
I have been to a nude beach twice, as a matter of fact.
Twice. The question was he nude when he went, or did he just observe nudity?
That's always the question.
Can we hear that again? Did he participate? Maybe we can read into that. Yeah, did he participate, or was he just an observer?
I have been to a nude beach twice, as a matter of fact.
Do you think he is one that now he has apparently a well-defined body for someone of his age?
Yeah.
So do you think that requires nudity on a nude beach? Would he do it?
No. I don't think Ron would shy away from going nude on a nude beach.
Now, has he been to the same nude beach twice or the same one or a different one?
I think he was at a different one.
Really?
I think so.
What would be the difference?
I remember him telling the story.
What changes? It's
scenery.
Nothing. What scenery? A beach is a beach, and if it's nude, there's not much change in what you see.
The demographics could change, Bob.
The
demographics.
Yeah.
Well, I always found it interesting that the people that should be naked aren't, and the ones who should not be are.
So you speak from experience, it sounds like. Has Bob been to a nude beach?
Have you, Bob?
I'm just saying,
no. Doesn't that make sense? Have you been to one yourself? Even if you haven't.
I have not, no.
People out there who think their bodies are good aren't really looking at it objectively. They're believing they have more to offer than they should. I believe in clothes. I think people look better in clothes.
Next question, Bob?
One more question. That would be a football question as we go to break almost. And that would be the Steelers, of course, last week made news with Larry Ogunjobi.
Mm-hmm.
Question is he healthy enough to help them? Because there's some dispute maybe about from different organizations. He failed a physical with Chicago. And if he is, how important would he be? If I give you names like Ogunjobi, and I'm going to do newcomers here, okay, Miles Jack, DeMarvin Leal, and Brian Flores, prominent guys they've added to the defense, who would be the most significant for the Steelers in 2022?
If he's relatively healthy, Ogunjobi for me. He was a prolific player for the Bengals last year. We look at his sacks, you look at his tackles for loss. And
if you list him as a Liz Frank injury, which is one of those injuries that can really hamper you.
I know. If he's listed as a defensive tackle, there were two defensive tackles in the league last year who had more tackles for loss, and their names are Aaron Donald and Cam Hayward. This dude can walk in here and have a profound impact, but you're right. It's a complicated injury. I think more complicated in terms of a signing if you're looking at $40 million than it is for 1 year incentive-based.
That's an excellent point.
Up to eight.
It's less risky this way.
What's the worst that can happen? He never plays it down? All right, eat the contract. But they have doctors, decent ones or so I've heard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good ones.
Good ones. Some of the best in the business.
Ladarius Green maybe didn't go so well, but every franchise has that. So they've had their doctors look at this guy and say he's going to be ready for camp and is going to play. Give me 80% of Ogunjobi, and I'll take it. Did you see their defensive line last year?
Yes. Coltsy, you're picking, and I'll tell you who I like the most of that list, and then we'll go to a break.
I think this is kind of tied for me, but I'll go with this one first. I'll go with Miles Jack, because if they get any kind of competent play at the middle linebacker position, which we did not see at all last year with Devin Bush at that position, I think that could be a dramatic change, especially when we're talking about defending the run. As we know, they were the worst in the league at that last year. If they can get competent play out of the middle of that defense, a guy that can take on a block, for goodness sake, with Miles Jack as compared to Devin Bush, that'll make a big, big difference.
He's my pick, too. I think he's going to be, and last year he was playing with a terrible team in Jacksonville, and they didn't have much to offer. When he's healthy and playing at a level that I think he's capable of, he will be the name that you come back to and say, that was a great addition to the Steelers staff. And that concludes today's showdown. Thank you for joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. We have more questions. We can get into them littered throughout the next couple of hours, if we so choose. In the meantime, Joe Starkey will take it away from here.
Thank you, Bob. Coming up, minor league football returning to Pittsburgh. That could happen next year. Let's talk about how the Pittsburgh Maulers fared this season and about that entire league. Did anybody watch any of it? We're going to talk about that next. They could actually play in Pittsburgh next year. We also have a lot of treats planned in the last hour and a half here, including Folsey and I conducting a sit-down interview with Bob for his 40th anniversary at KDKA, including perhaps Folsey endorsing stables, pony riding, and what that commercial might sound like. We're going to have competing commercials coming up. But that's next. Did any of you watch this?
Well, can I interject?
Yes, this
guy on
please.
Twitter, Mike Bonnet, says, did Starkey just come back from a safari?
Does he like the hat?
He likes the hat.
I like that.
I can't imagine.
You like it, Folsey?
Can you imagine Joe Starkey on a safari? He's afraid of a thousand legger here. And all of a sudden, some big ass rhino comes after him. What's he going
to
do?
I'd have to be airlifted.
Jump out of the car.
Airlifted from the safari.
Or drunk.
Bob, you have a message for the people.
I do.
Does he? I don't think he does.
I was going to give
don't.
Ron.
What are you doing? You're throwing
give,
me off.
Yes, it does. It says, what time is it? Is this our first segment of the noon hour?
Yes.
Then it says, Bob, with the, oh no, was that 10? 16?
No, you're right.
16?
What is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, I was wrong. Sorry, Bob.
I have one coming up later.
Let's give Ron the last word of the segment, can we?
I have been to a nude beach twice, as a matter of fact.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, a little test question here. Don't look this up, Bob or Maddie. The USFL title game is July 3rd. Can either one of you name the two teams playing in that title game? Bob?
I guess, oh boy, I haven't watched much. I'll say Birmingham Stallions.
Okay. I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong.
Against who? Does Orlando have a team?
Folsey?
The Michigan Panthers? Against the New Jersey
Generals.
Nope. Bob had one right. The Birmingham Stallions against the Philly Stars. This league, as near as I can tell, was exactly what I and many others, I don't know what you guys expected, just a raging failure.
Which
Agreed?
Is what I expected.
Totally. Nobody was there to watch. I don't know what the TV ratings are. But, you know, how do you support a franchise when all of the franchises are in one city, and that's Birmingham, where they don't care?
How are they coming back for another season is my question.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, is Adam Bittner, Post-Gazette, writing that if they do come back, we're going to have a USFL team back in Pittsburgh, very likely, and that they might play at Highmark Stadium. I mean, what are we doing here? I love Highmark Stadium, by the way. It's a beautiful venue.
Beautiful spot, yes.
But what exactly are we doing here? Who is?
I don't know.
Who stands to benefit from this league? How many times are we going to try this?
I'm surprised Fox gave him a TV deal. I am interested a little bit for, and it will be just a little bit, the new XFL league coming in, a redo of that, take a mulligan, see what they can do. But I just, you know, at least they're somehow working with the NFL here. I'm not sure how that's all going to work.
Why are they even doing this? And has anybody watched? If somebody out there took an interest in the USFL, I'd love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. This was the easiest prediction in the world that this league would fail and fail miserably. And here we are, unless I'm missing something. Were the TV ratings any good?
No.
They were horrible.
They were horrible.
Was the attendance good?
No. There's nobody there.
Okay, then how else would we measure a league? Now, people talked about betting that, okay, Fox and NBC execs seem happy with, quote, profitable first season in USFL.
How do you define profitability? Like, what are they looking at? If the TV ratings are no good, there's nobody in the stands, how is it profitable? Unless it's a betting, unless they're, you know, but how do you, as the league, does the league get money on that sort of stuff? I don't know how that would work.
I don't know how it's profitable. I don't. I'm reading the story, and I still don't. It's notable that there was a more than 3-to-1 edge in games on broadcast TV versus cable games. 1 million,
but
average,
that's normal.
1 million average viewers. Put that into perspective. Is that decent or no?
No, it's better than cable. But that's the problem here. There are so many sports on, and they play on these on the weekends. And the weekends normally are littered with all sorts of other events that are bigger than that. Plus, people are out doing stuff in the summertime.
When you say it's better than cable, what do you mean?
The numbers always are better on broadcast, like, you know, regular ABC, NBC, CBS.
Okay,
broadcast.
Okay. I got you.
Entities, commercial broadcast, for whatever reason, they get more play. I don't know
now,
the reason.
Well, one of the guys said this, who's running this, all we wanted to do is demonstrate that spring football can do viewership at the levels of Premier League, NHL regular season, Formula One, or MLS. We want to show we belong in that category, and I think that happened.
I disagree.
Based on TV
ratings?
Based
on TV ratings. I see what they are. I don't even know what... Again, I don't know what they're looking at. They must be looking at different metrics because the ones I see don't make sense. Now, again, mine is confined to the city of Pittsburgh and the surrounding DMA. That means a couple of million people, a couple of million households, nobody's watching.
I didn't see a single play. Did either of you? I did not see a single play.
Yes, I saw a 59-yard field goal by the Pittsburgh Mauler kicker.
Yeah.
And also a touchdown pass thrown by the Pittsburgh Mauler kicker.
Falsey?
I would say I watched a combined total of about 5 minutes of actual gameplay throughout my time of watching the USFL.
I just don't think people want... It proves the point that there is a saturation level with football. Although I guess if the NFL could ever find a way to go year-round, people would watch
they
the game.
They don't have to. You know why? They don't have to put on a product year-round. They just have to schedule their main events the way they do. And there's enough talk about it. It gets all the play all the time. And their events that they do put on in off seasons are generally by far the best thing on television in terms of viewership.
They got a system
in place that they don't need to do anything other than just keep doing what they're doing.
It's all year round already.
It's year round. And one of the unfortunate stories is unfolding even as we speak. The hearing, the Deshaun Watson hearing, begins tomorrow. Let's talk about that because I think there was a big twist in this case just in the last couple days. Let's talk about that next on Cook and Joe. Bob in today for Ron, who is on vacation. Well, another turn in the Deshaun Watson situation, and that is the Houston Texans have now been sued, according to Tony Busby, who has been representing most of the women in these civil cases. Today we filed the first case of what will likely be many against the Houston Texans related to Deshaun Watson's behavior. Suffice to say, Busby says the overwhelming evidence collected indicating that the Texans enabled Watson's behavior is incredibly damning. We believe the Texans knew or most certainly should have known of Watson's conduct. Beyond that, we believe the filing speaks for itself. I mean, this is actually another bombshell here, Bob, but in the meantime, his hearing for NFL suspension purposes is going to begin tomorrow. And Wall Street Journal reported that the league won't settle for less than a one-year suspension. Mike Florio says, not so fast, because the players are going to come back and say to the independent arbitrator, which eventually it'll go back to Goodell anyway, probably, if either side appeals. But in the meantime, the Players Association can say to her, listen, what has the NFL done in terms of personal conduct with Daniel Snyder, with Bob Kraft, with other owners who have clearly demonstrated a lack of proper personal conduct? Have they done enough there? And more importantly, can we uncover the trail of evidence in those cases? And let's take a look at what the NFL could have and should have done in all those cases. And we know that the NFL wouldn't want that, right? So Florio's thinking is that the NFL, under threat of that, under threat of having to turn over evidence from cases involving team owners, would cut a deal on the Watson suspension. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, I understand it that Deshaun Watson already knows what the NFL, they have to give him 10 days notice. It's per their CBA. So he knows exactly what the NFL wants. It's most likely an indefinite suspension, not unlike what they had with Josh Gordon for different reasons, but indefinite, meaning you can reapply, blah, blah, blah. It gives them, at least optically, the look. We're taking this seriously to the point where it's indefinite. It's at least a year. Could be more, but we're not going to get to that point yet. So I think they know that, but you're right. The Players Association has an enormous role in this. The problem is, ultimately, even though they have a new independent arbitrator, Sue Robinson is her name, she's going to make this decision. Ultimately, Roger Goodell will be offered to make a judgment on an appeal. And because of what you said, this is where some controversy could come into play. He has on one side his employment, which is the owners pay him a lot of money to be, and he's clearly not going to do a lot to damage the owners. As we've already seen, there hasn't been a lot of anything with regard to any of these guys.
Yes.
So that will be the interesting thing on this level. What is it reduced to, and is it enough to satisfy players? But I think Players Association also has to understand this is a serious, kind of a serial kind of situation here on hand. You know, maybe they didn't ever prove enough to make it criminal, but it's a terrible look for not only him, but for the entire league. And they can't allow that. They have to take that seriously, and players need to understand that as well.
So, I fully believe that the Wall Street Journal piece that the NFL will seek for a year suspension. You can call it indefinite, but I think they're looking for a year. But I also am on Florio's side here that the Players Association has a very strong play by saying, okay, let's take a look at owners. Now, if the judge allow that evidence, then the NFL is in a win situation. If the judge says, yep, let's take a look at what they've done with owners, let's look at all the evidence, it'll never get to looking at
the evidence. So how much will the reduced suspension
be? I bet you 8 games.
See, I don't think that's enough, and I think that's...
Neither do I, but that's what it'll be.
Does the NFL look like they did the right thing by saying indefinite, but then we'll negotiate backwards?
They'll look like they cowered... On the ownership front of, and we don't want anybody to see what we had against these people when we really didn't take that strong of a stance.
Well, then they're in a little bit of predicament here, and I'd be interested to see how it all plays out. But I got to believe that, you know, if I'm Watson's camp and the Players Association, if they say indefinite and they haven't given a description of what that means, they'll just say indefinite. maybe he will settle for 1 year. He knows what he's going to lose financially in 1 year. They do too. But you do lose a quarterback on a team that doesn't have a quarterback now, because they've alienated Baker Mayfield. They have a roster, Joe, that's pretty good to compete right now. If you look at their roster, you could say it's a good roster.
Yeah.
But they'll be missing a quarterback who's capable of doing what they intended him to do. So they got another situation that becomes a secondary issue, and that's Baker Mayfield. What do they do now with him?
I'm glad you asked, because we're going to take a little trip around the NFL next is what we're going to do. There's also news out of Cincinnati that, to me, they're in a place that I never thought they would be at this point on a couple of different levels. We'll tell you about that next. We'll get to Bob's question about Baker. I heard a rant from somebody on our station. It was a national show. Late at night the other night, can't remember where I was going, why I was listening to that particular person, but I was, and I thought he made some great points on Baker Mayfield. Let's talk about that next here as we take a little trip around the NFL. It's Cook and Joe. Bob is in for Ron. Ron will be back at some point next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.